Good evening. Welcome to Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sauver. I'm an employment law and business law attorney, and I host this weekly live talk radio show every Tuesday night from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where I have guests who discuss with me some of the most compelling topics that small and mid-sized business owners are facing during these challenging times. And a little tech note for our audience tonight, I'm having some tech issues. Hopefully everyone can hear me okay. Sounds like it might be echoing a bit. I'm going to take care of that in a moment. But I want to introduce our guest on the show tonight. Our guest is Ms. Jennifer Winter. Jennifer is the Chief Executive Officer and the founder of the Boardman Group, Inc., TBG. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Eric, how are you? Thank you for having me.
I'm well. Thank you, Jen. Hope you all can hear me okay. I might be an echo, perhaps. Can you hear me clearly? Or
I can hear the echo, but I can hear you clearly.
Okay, that's good to know. We'll do our best here, folks, and I will see if I need to call back in on the commercial, but great. Okay, so moving forward, Jen, again, good to have you on our show tonight. I'm going to just share with our audience what our topic is, and then I'll give you a more proper introduction, if I may. So our topic tonight, folks, is PR tips for small business, and we're talking about public relations, a topic I've visited on this show on different occasions. But really, we're talking about how it's been crucially important, that is, for business owners and entrepreneurs to want to gain exposure for their product or service and to want to stay top of mind with their clients, customers, and referral sources. So public relations can serve to refute negative publicity. It can turn a potentially bad press scenario into a positive one. And it can also be used to promote one's business by showcasing their many achievements and their reputation. So we're talking about this issue of PR in the context of a small business owner. For those small business owners out there listening tonight, how do you compete with the larger counterparts in creating positive buzz and PR, and how do you attract media attention? What are some affordable methods and means of maintaining good PR without a large corporation's marketing budget? So tonight, I'm pleased to have with me, as I mentioned, Ms. Jennifer Witzer. She is a distinguished author. She is a PR and marketing strategist, and she is the founder and CEO of the Boardman Group as a guest on Employment Law Today. And Jen, if I may, Jennifer, maybe sing some of your praises for our audience tonight. They know they're in for a treat with a highly skilled and highly seasoned professional. Jennifer, as I mentioned, is the Chief Executive Officer and the founder of the Boardman Group, Inc., TBG. It's an 18-year-old boutique public relations firm headquartered in New York City. The agency specializes in women-led and minority-owned businesses, as well as in grassroots nonprofits. It was selected by TheStreet.com as one of 5 national Black-owned businesses making a buzz. Jennifer was named one of the nation's 10 most successful Black CEOs and entrepreneurs by Madame Noir magazine, and her company was recognized as one of 12 Black-owned businesses to be, quote, loved by its community and beyond by Thrive Global. Jennifer is also the author of The Little Book of Big PR, 100-plus quick tips to get your small business noticed, published by Amicon HarperCollins. She has appeared in The Wall Street Journal, Fast Company, The Associated Press, Bloomberg Radio, MarketWatch Radio Network, and WJLA. And after tonight, she can say she's appeared on talkradio.nyc as well, an Employment Law Today, for your next bio introduction. Previously, Jennifer Witter was the public relations expert for Inc.com TV and a contributor to AOL Small Business. And Jen, with that, it's really great once again. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Eric, it is my pleasure, and I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Sure, absolutely. So I'm glad we were able to fashion a makeshift tent buzzer bone solution here. Not sure what's happening on my end, but going right to it. Jennifer, can you tell us a bit more about yourself, mainly in the context of how did you get into the PR marketing business, and what are some of your most memorable success stories you've had over the years with a client?
Well, I fell into public relations, actually. I went to Fordham University here in New York City. And when I was at Fordham, I majored in communications with a concentration in print journalism. And my ultimate goal was to work for the BBC. And when I graduated, which was many moons ago, I graduated into a recession that was the worst recession since the Great Depression, and there were no jobs. But in my senior year of college, I interned at the New York Botanical Garden in their PR department because I wanted to generate extra money because after I graduated, I wanted to visit my family in England. And my very first mentor was my very first boss, Marge Lovero. And when she saw my resume, the personnel director didn't want to hire me, but she said, bring me in. And I went in. And again, I never studied public relations. Back then, PR was kind of considered like the red hair child. No offense to those with red hair. And I found out that I had a natural talent for it. And when I graduated, Mrs. Lovero knew I didn't have a job. And she said, well, you can stay here as long as you want. You can continue to look. And I just continued to stay. And it really worked out for me because, as I said, I found out I had a natural talent for public relations. And Mrs. Lovero was so generous in training me and sharing her skills with me. And, you know, after the Botanical Garden, I worked at a PR agency, and that was in the late 1980s. And I did product publicity, which is the foundation, I feel, of all publicity, because if you can move a product, you can move anything. And I can tell you, and I hope you stay awake with this, that my areas was with a faucet maker. And so if you can make a faucet sexy and keep it interesting for yourself and for the consumer, you can just take anything and make it work. And I moved to another agency after that. And then I landed at Thomas Associates, which no longer exists. It's a high-tech PR agency. And there again, I tested myself because I never did high-tech PR. And the person who hired me knew that. And she took a chance on me. And it was another woman. And I one of my clients was IBM. And they gave me the densest tech portion of the account, application-specific integrated circuitry. And after 3 months of hard studying and figuring out what the heck this was, I was able to represent them in other dense tech accounts. And then Thomas was purchased by Ketchum. And I merged into Ketchum. So altogether, I was there for 5 years. And at Ketchum, which is a global leader in communications, I created the corporate technology department. And in its first year, it generated $1 million in revenue. And around 2001, I really became burnt out. I had some personal issues. My mother had passed away. And so I decided to take, I decided to take a year off. And after I was done with the year to rest and rejuvenate, because what people don't realize is that PR is not like Samantha Jones of Sex and the City. It is very high stress. You get clients sometimes that are very difficult to manage. And for many years, it was listed as one of the top three most stressful jobs in the country, along with firefighters, police officers, believe it or not. And so I took that year to rest, and I decided to go back into PR, and I wanted to go back to it on my own terms. So 18 years ago, I started the Borland Group, and initially we focused on real estate. And everything was wonderful. PR back then is very different from the way it is now. And I know we'll discuss that a little bit later on. And I saw in 2007 in real estate, what I saw what had happened in tech, because as we know, tech kind of exploded in the late 1990s. And so I diversified. And eventually we came to settle on working with minority-owned and women-led companies. And the reason why I focus in on that area is that we don't get our fair share of attention. And what my company does, because I've been now in public relations since 1982, is that we bring resources to our clients who are primarily small businesses, and we are able to build upon their visibility and allow them to have a stronger contribution to the conversation in the market they are in, and to showcase their skills and abilities that will get them their fair share of attention, that will allow them to get a greater well-earned footprint in their respective industries. And I also am a public speaker, and I speak on a range of issues, including implicit bias and personal branding. And I've been fortunate enough to speak at TEDx Albany, the Pentagon, Columbia University, and other such areas.
Wow, it's quite a background, Jennifer. And, you know, I think some great things you pointed out there. From the start, some of the larger big corporations, big companies, and your initial start with a mentor, having fallen into PR, I feel like a lot of my guests, they fall into two categories. They found their passion when they fell into it. They, you know, unwittingly, unplanning, that wasn't part of their plan. Or it was a childhood dream, and they always saw themselves envisioned a certain role or light. But I think however you start the major market towns, like including, you know, finding your niche, or carving out your niche for your company, your firm, that is, by doing PR and focusing also on minority-owned businesses as well, giving them a voice, giving them a footprint. So it's interesting to hear that, and I definitely would love to talk, you're absolutely right, about the implicit bias in branding. I think it's a great topic, and even just how some of the minority-owned businesses are perhaps struggling to get the same level of visibility, attention, and positive press. So I think we have some great things we can talk about this evening. I will ask, I don't usually do this, is my sound okay? Can you hear me okay, Jennifer?
It's a little bit difficult, but I'm following you.
Okay, I'm going to try my best here. I might have to.
I know.
My apologies, folks. I want to make sure the audience and you can all hear me as we're going through this as smoothly as we can, having a little tech problem mic on my computer here. But but I just really appreciate what you had to share. You know, we also have other guests on the show, I've had guests on the show, talk about the sort of honing the minority-owned business as part of their services. So I think we can really have some good conversation. You know, before I get into my next question, we're about a minute or two away from the first commercial break. So I want to make sure I can give you enough time to answer the question. So folks, you are listening to and watching Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sauver. My guest tonight is Jennifer Witter, CEO and founder of the Borland Group. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to Employment Law Today. Can you hear me okay? Is my speaker coming in?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. Hopefully better. All right. We are back tonight talking about PR tips for small businesses with my guest tonight, Jennifer Witter, CEO and founder of the Boylan Group. And Jennifer, again, great to have you on the show tonight. Appreciate you being here.
I'm happy to be here, Eric. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. Okay. So let's talk about PR for small business. And particularly my question for you, Jennifer, is what are the key ways in which small businesses tend to engage PR and marketing campaigns? And what are some of the common PR missteps that these small businesses tend to take?
Mm-hmm. I would say that for small businesses, the key ways that they can use PR to grow their own footprint and engage public relations, there are three ways. The first one is in branding. You know, who are you? What are you? Make sure that you have your positioning and messaging clear, because there are a lot of small businesses out there. There are a lot of people doing what you're doing. So how are you going to break through the clutter? How are you going to break through the noise? And one of the most important things about branding is, how do you differentiate yourself, your products, your services, your business? You want to make sure that whatever you're doing, that if you're working with a customer or if you're B2B, business to business, if they are looking for whatever you provide, that they think automatically, I need to go to Eric. I need to go to Jennifer. You have to be at the top, if not the first thought, then the second or third. So I would say one key way is to make sure that you have a clear cut branding, that the reality matches the perception, because a lot of times people think that, of course, everybody knows what I do, and they don't. And to make sure that you are very clear about how you are different from other companies and how your customers can benefit from that. The second thing is with media relations. And I can tell you, it's only been one time in my 18 years with the Boylan Group that a client said that they didn't want media relations. And a lot of people shy away from it because they feel, oh, I'm so small, they're not going to pay attention to me, or they are not well prepared. One of my clients, since this was many years ago, he gave me a story idea. And I assumed that since he gave me the concept that he could talk about it. And I was able to get to the Wall Street Journal. They loved the idea and they interviewed me, and the article came out. And guess what, Eric? He wasn't included. He wasn't included in the article at all.
He was not included.
Article. Oh. And what happened was, because I called up the reporter, and you always have to be nice with reporters. And they said, what happened? Yes, you can't be snarky because they'll never work with you again. And she said, well, when I spoke with him, he didn't have any substance behind his comments. It was all very surface. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And that's when I really began to, with this particular client, to say, you have an idea that's great, but can you speak to it? And that's what I'm sharing here. Just because you share an idea with a reporter does not mean that they're automatically going to include you in the media piece, in the article, in the podcast, if you don't have the substance and the expertise to back up that concept. And another key area is speaking engagements. And I'm sure you know this, but there are studies out there that say that people fear death more than they do speaking engagements. And the great thing about speaking is people are coming to hear you. You are being positioned as what? The expert. And you get to speak authority. Exactly. You're the voice of authority. It's third-party credibility because you're standing on that stage to share your expertise. And instead of one person, you're sharing it in front of a group of people who can become your clients. And so by engaging in speaking engagements, and you don't have to start big. When I started speaking, and that was around 2008, so you can do the math. I started speaking at the local public library here in New York City, the Science, Industry, and Business Library.
And then I
began speaking at local, you know, trade groups and things like that. And I eventually grew and became more comfortable. And it does take time and effort. But I can tell you that many times I have converted a lot of these people into clients. And one of my clients, who's a real estate broker here in New York City, she was speaking at the 92nd Street Y. And she spoke there on several occasions. And on one occasion, she got a $2 million listing. So think about the return on speaking engagements for that. So try not to get too nervous. And everybody, you know what you're talking about, and everybody's nervous. And I get nervous too, but you can do it. And then with the PR missteps, I have found that there are often times when clients who have never worked with PR agencies think that it's going to happen overnight. We get hired on Monday and they expect to be in the New York Times on Wednesday. And there was this one client who lasted a month because I fired them. They hired me, and let's say the start date was March 1st. And then February 28th, there was an article in the New York Times that focused on what they did. But I hadn't been representing them. And so when I started representing them a couple of days later, they said, "Why weren't we in that article?" I was like, "Well, I wasn't representing you." And it went downhill from there. And so you just have to understand it's not going to happen in the first week. It's not going to happen in the first month. It may not happen the first 3 months, 6 months, because if you're starting from scratch, guess what? You have to create a foundation. And the first month of any account, we have to put together media lists, editorial calendars, and I share that with the client, but sometimes they don't listen. And so you have to make yourself very clear. Another misstep is that some clients don't invest the time to make the partnership worthwhile. And when I work with a client, and I know you do the same thing with your clients, it is not a transactional relationship. You are their partner. You learn what you need to know because their success is your success. But if they don't invest the time, then I can't work to create success because you're not giving me time. So when you hire a PR agency, you are going to have to take time out of your schedule to work with the agency to ensure a successful partnership. And then last but not least is that you have to listen to the PR expert. You know, I am not going to go to a doctor's office and tell the doctor how to operate on me. And this is many times what happens with other PR professionals that I have, you know, known and work with, and to myself, where the client thinks that they know better. And, you know, I will listen, but the fact remains is that I have been in this industry for 4 decades. I've represented clients such as, you know, FedEx, IBM, my own clients here in New York under the Borland Group. And so what I share with you is based on extensive knowledge. And I am working to create publicity opportunities for you that will benefit you. And I had one client who is in marketing, which is a different animal from PR. And she was telling me how to write a pitch. And she was telling me my pitch was all off and this and that. And then it couldn't have been better timed when at the end of the conversation, one of my pitches that she said, it's terrible. And Bloomberg Radio called me and said, we want her on the program. And she goes, they responded to your pitch, this pitch that was supposed to be so terrible. And I got her.
Oh, interesting.
So, you know, those are some of the, you know, nutshell things you have to keep in mind.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's a lot of good info there, Jennifer, really. Just break down for audience and wondering who at home was listening tonight or watching and think about the, you know, the key points are like in terms of keeping it, making sure you invest the time, right? That whole like, time factor, not expecting a rush result. We have some similarities in our field because in employment law, also there's like a, you know, there's a collaboration, a collaborative process where you have to, you know, have some participation in the process. So I hear you saying that your clients need to participate in the process with you. I hear the missteps of small businesses perhaps not knowing the whole the long haul game. What I find interesting too, Jennifer, is something you mentioned a little earlier. You were saying that small businesses often perhaps think that their voice might not count or might not be interesting because they're a small potato, sort of, I'm paraphrasing what you said. But interesting to hear your take on that, that says, no, you can be a very small business, you can be a solo business, you can be a practice or a company, and you can still generate some buzz, and people can still want to hear what you have to say and what you bring to the table. So I think it's a really good point that you raised there for our audience to consider tonight. If you're home listening and you think that, you know, the media is not going to be interested in you because you're not Google or, you know, some large company or a big famous firm, not always the case. So I appreciate you sharing that with us, you know, just your, the idea, because we want to really speak out there to the small business tonight. Kind of, we usually cater to the small, mid-sized companies, all industries, but certainly we sometimes have a nice focus on one, you know, so I booked on topic. So thank you for that.
That's great.
Maybe we can, you mentioned about a PR campaign at one point in our discussion today. I think it was earlier before the break that the term came up, that phrase. And I'm wondering, you identified one obstacle, you said, an obstacle that small business owners might have when it comes to creating a successful PR campaign. You mentioned like they're not always, invested or they want to rush results. I'm wondering, like, what about the challenge of lack of financial resources compared to larger companies? How does that come into play? Like, does the lack of financial resources create an obstacle for business owners, or is that imagined in their head?
No, you have to pay for the expertise that you want to have. And I have had people have said, well, I'm starting up a company. Can you give me a discount? No. You know, one person, and this was years ago, she was representing a person who was famous. She was in commercial real estate. And she said to me, because I'm representing this person, if you represent me, then you'll get a lot of attention because my primary client is very well known. And therefore, you should work for me for free. Made no sense whatsoever. And so, you know, before you go, when you meet with a PR agency, make sure you know how much money you realistically spend. And if you're going to do, if you can only spend $1,000, I will be blunt, you will not get an agency to work with you. However, you can work with a consultant, and they don't have the overhead that a PR agency has. And what I will always tell clients, whether or not they work with me or not, is that they should always get a PR program that outlines the objective and the tactics so that when you engage with the consultant or PR agency, everybody's on the same page, you know what the tactics are, and you know how much you're going to be paying. When I was working at Ketchum, a small account there was $20,000 a month. Yes, and that was considered a small account. For my agency, we'd be doing somersaults or $20,000 a month. So you have to be very realistic. I know that some potential clients have said, we want the bigger names, et cetera, et cetera. And that's fine. There's nothing I can do. But will you get the same level of attention? Will you have access to the CEO like my clients do? Will you get your money's worth? Because for smaller clients, let's just say $5,000 a month is a lot. And they want to make sure that money that they're investing is going to have that return on investment. So you have to weigh, and you have to understand you're not going to get that return on investment right away. It is a long-term journey that you're on. And one of my first clients, she and I were together for 12 years. She has attributed much of her success to the work that we did together. And she just grew, but she understood that it was going to take time, and it did. But if you have a viable program, if you have the financial resources to continue to invest, and you have a realistic outlook, it should be a successful partnership.
Jennifer, this is, I think, a really great question to pick up on after the commercial break, especially that whole financial resource range. I appreciate what you've given us so far. So, folks, you're listening to Employment Law Today here on Talk Radio NYC. I'm your host, Eric Sauver, Employment Law Business Law Attorney. My guest tonight, the very talented, very experienced, Ms. Jennifer Witter, CEO and founder of The Borden Group. Stick around for more PR tips. We'll be right back.
Howdy, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, Employment Law Business Law Attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
I've always said technology will kill us, Eric, but we're still here.
It definitely will. It's a double-edged sword. It's great that we have Zoom so we can do this this interview without having to meet in an office or in a studio. But for now and then, when things go awry, we, yes. So thank you all, the audience, too. And thank you, Jennifer, for bearing with me tonight through some tech challenges. Okay. I think I was pressing the wrong button to unmute there. We're back with Employment Law Today. And some tech issues, that's all right. We'll keep working. We'll keep moving. With Jennifer Witter, we're talking about our topic for PR tips for small business. And, you know, Jennifer, before the break, you talked about sort of like financial resources. We asked, what are some challenges there? You mentioned some companies, some business owners might underestimate how much they need, you know, for their PR. And they really can't, I say, afford to be cheap about it, to think that it would cost them a dime or, you know, a dollar to get really sophisticated PR help. You mentioned a range, like I think it was an example, say $5,000 a month. And I'm just wondering, is that like a within a normal range for a small business to take some, like significant steps in PR? Like, could they do it on a $5,000 a month budget or a $3,000 a month budget?
It depends. For my company, it's the retainer is $5,000 minimum per month and up, and it all depends on what they want to do. If they don't want a retainer, what I mean by retainer, it's a long-term contract, whether it's 6 months or 1 year. If they want to do project-based, for example, Eric, if you have a book coming out and you want to promote it and there's a beginning, middle, and end. And I recently did that with a client. Her name is Emily Black. And her book is, Frida Kahlo and Her Left Leg. And we worked with her for 3 months. And we negotiated a price that was less than $5,000. But because she was not going for the full range. And for a retainer, it is multiple tactics. Anything less, we focus in on one tactic. And for you, if you did your book, or for Emily, we focused solely on media relations, and it was for a set amount of time. And as I mentioned earlier, if you only have $1,000, there are consultants who can work with you. And what I had done with the Borland Group, I started a subdivision called TBG, the Borland Group, its initials, one-on-one, where I would charge $250 an hour for 4 hours minimum a month. And I would coach the client and then they would execute. So they could get the my experience and they would do take that and under my direction, execute. And so as they grew and they were able to hire me full time, then they were able to do that. But they were still able to use publicity in a knowledgeable manner, because a lot of people, you know, really a lot of people would say to me, even friends who have known me for years and years, and this is when I first started out, would mix up what I was doing with advertising. And you know, people were like publicity, advertising, et cetera. So at least by working with me, they can take advantage of my expertise and use PR in the correct fashion.
Right. You know, that's a really good point, you know, Jennifer, just for people listening tonight, if you're a small business owner, if you're a small business or a service provider, that I think you can start perhaps with some small, maybe some basic steps or basic assistance. So we would, for example, with Jennifer, a good example there, in an hourly fashion or hourly rate or for some certain scope of services. And then as that hopefully creates more buzz for you, more publicity, maybe brings in more clients, more, you know, top of mind, then perhaps like you may be able to, right, be able to grow and afford and need more expensive services. It's almost like sort of a positive cycle. You know, we talk a lot in the world and society about vicious cycles of things where one negative situation feeds negative consequence and that creates a loop. But I believe it works in the positive side as well, where you have a situation like you're giving some PR, you're taking some measures, and then that feeds the company's growth. Then it can afford to invest in more PR. So I think that's a good point you raise. And I recognize that it's hard to pinpoint, like, what's the exact, you know, price tag on good PR. It's not like buying a sport jacket, right? Like this, or a button shirt or sweater where you can get a range and say, I want to spend this much. So go to that department, that section of the store. So I appreciate that. You know, I appreciate you just kind of giving us like some, you know, some of these tips. And I'm also wondering, maybe perhaps a question for you about social media, you know, as a publicity tool. Like, how can your business owner clients, you maximize their social media to really dig in with some good PR?
You know, I'm surprised I still have hair on my head because I pull it out in clumps when I talk to prospective clients and clients because social media is such an underrated publicity tool. And it's free. You don't have to spend money for LinkedIn or Twitter or Instagram. You can get your message out to your audiences by using social media. And, you know, in my book, I have a whole chapter devoted to social media. And what I say is look at the different platforms and pick one, because if you pick all of them, you're going to get overwhelmed. So start with one, and that one should be the one that you feel is going to work best for you. So for example, if you're a photographer, Instagram, which is more visual, that's the one you should focus in on. As an attorney, my unasked for suggestion would be LinkedIn because it's primarily B2B. And then once you focus in, and for the purposes of this conversation, I'm going to focus in on LinkedIn because I feel most people would settle on that platform. You have to work it. I call it virtual networking, which is basically networking using social media as your primary tool. And in this day and age where virtually everything is virtual, it doesn't mean you're not networking, but network. And very quickly with LinkedIn, figure out what your objective is. So Eric, let's say you want to get more guests for your program. So you use LinkedIn to get guests for your program. So you post about your program. You post about the reach of it. You should post 20 times a month, which may sound like a lot, but that's once a day.
Not that much.
No. Take a look at your cover photo. Does it support your messaging and your positioning? Do you use the hashtag and the handles so that you can reach out to people that you want to develop relationships with? And then using the other resources that LinkedIn offers will help you get to the next level. When I say you, I don't mean you, Eric, but the viewer.
Proverbially.
Yeah, but I can tell you, and I know that we have like a minute left before the break, is that for LinkedIn, I use it primarily to promote my speaking engagements. And from that, I got my engagement at the Pentagon where I spoke. And from the Pentagon, I got a speaking engagement at the Brookings Institution. So it does work, but you have to use time. You have to be consistent. You have to stay on message, and you have to use the hashtags, the at symbols, and direct content in order to make it work for you and use it successfully as a publicity tool.
Interesting, Jennifer, really there. I mean, it's funny. Well, you were talking about, I think, the proverbial you, the audience, right? But as you were speaking, I was happy to be checking off the boxes of like check, you know, the hashtag, the at sign, the tagging folks. It might be able to share as well. But I think everything you're saying makes a lot of sense. And it is a free tool, it's often underappreciated by some people. You had a good point there, too, about for audience tonight, look for your medium. Where are your clients? Where are your customers? Where will your services most be highlighted? Like a CPA attorney, LinkedIn's often the place to go. A fashion designer or a photographer, an art store, perhaps an Instagram, Pinterest are good to have. So it's good to have those things down pat. And I just really appreciate you're also reminding our audience that it's like everything else. It can take consistency. It takes focus. It takes being uniform. So I think we have some great, perhaps final questions when we come back. Folks, when we come back, we're going to talk with Jennifer. We're going to find out how media relations have changed in the past few years, particularly as well during COVID. So stick around to Employment Law Today right here on Talk Radio NYC. I'm your host, Eric Sauver. My guest tonight, Jennifer Witter of the Borland Group, and we will be right back.
Join us every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern for The Mind Behind Leadership, where we focus on what leadership really means to us and to others. We have practical discussions with the CEOs of some of the world's largest companies, owners of small businesses, and experts in psychology and behavior to get that inside track, what to do, what to avoid, and what really happens. Join me, Graham Dobbin, at the new time, 4 p.m. every Tuesday for The Mind Behind Leadership here live on talkradio.nyc.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy Gee, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Calling all pet lovers.
Pet Avengers, assemble!
On the Professionals and Animal Lovers show, we believe the bond between animal lovers is incredibly strong. It mirrors that bond between pets and their owners. Through this program, we come together to learn, educate, and advocate.
Join us live every Wednesday at 2 p.m. at talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sauber. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you.
Wonderful. Okay, great. And I'm again on the show Employment Law Today here on Talk Radio NYC. Our guest tonight, Jennifer Witter of the Borland Group. I should say CEO and founder of the Borland Group, not just with the group, but actually created it. And both can be true there. And again, Jennifer, this is really our topic tonight. Your tips and information, you know, your a couple of stories about your clients, I think with PR and marketing advice, really helpful. So especially in these times when people tend to be more virtual during COVID and maybe they can't get in front of all their clients the same way they used to in person, to know that PR exists in the virtual realm, social media, articles, news media. So really good stuff so far. And I wanted to ask you sort of a last question, and we'll give you a chance to share about things you have going on and your content and so on. But my question is about media relations, how it's changed in the last few years, especially the last 2 years of COVID-19 and whatnot. Can you share with us about that for our audience, what they need to know?
Sure. This is across the board in the PR industry. When I first started the Borland Group, I like to say 18 years ago, I could leave my office and trip over a media placement. No more. And I miss those days a great deal. And in the past few years, the media landscape has just changed radically. There are fewer outlets, more have merged. It has become hyper-competitive to get into publications. A lot of reporters have left. And you try to explain that to the client, you know, who at one time was accustomed to getting media placements, a lot of them to not getting as many. With COVID, it has turned all industries, the media industry, upside down. And a lot of the smaller outlets have closed. A lot of newspapers or print media, they have merged. Black Enterprise, which was a major publication for Black entrepreneurs, well-respected, had many awards, was a monthly publication, is now online, and it comes out quarterly. And so with media relations, you really have to be creative. And one area of PR that has grown, or in media relations that has grown, are podcasts. And what I share with my clients, okay, it may not have, you know, 50,000 listeners or the this breath of the New York Times. But the great thing about a podcast is that it has your audience. So you have to look at quality over quantity, because you're going to get to the decision makers that you want. So it sometimes is a hard sell. And then for reporters during COVID, before they would get, let's say, 600-700 emails a day, one reporter said that she's now getting 3,000 emails a day.
Wow.
So just getting through has been very difficult. But if you develop relationships with reporters, we talked about Twitter. I was in Washington, D.C. last week for Thanksgiving, and I got there a couple of days early. And there was one reporter, I have not said one word to her in more than 2 years, but I follow her on Twitter. I made sure to highlight her appropriately. I stayed in front of her that way. And when I said I was coming to D.C., and would she like to meet for coffee, she said yes. And out of that meeting, I got 3 placements in a national publication. So it's not impossible, but it's not easy. And you have to be, as I said, strategic. You have to be creative. You have to consistently send pitches out and throw your net out there. But the media landscape that once existed is gone for good. And we in the PR industry are adapting to that and working hard to make sure that we continue to get our clients in the media and educate them as well.
Interesting how with smaller newspapers and different media outlets, you know, folding or merging, closing down, and the reporters getting more and more, I suppose, it drives the traffic of potential PR inquiries and companies towards a smaller pool of reporters, that they get more emails per day. And you mentioned, like, for example, articles coming out less frequently, Enterprise as an example. So the term, you know, creativity, being innovative, really stands out. I like the example you gave, Jennifer, about the following reporter on Twitter. And I've heard that too, that if you want to get reporters' ear or eye or their attention, follow them on social media, LinkedIn, Twitter, whatnot. If they write articles, right, give it some social media love, you know, like share it, reshare it, and you know, like it and follow it, comment on it. Then when you reach out to them, like, say with a story idea or with an article or a quote, or you want to do a feature graph on an area of your expertise, they might know you better, appreciate you better. Was that what you were kind of saying when you mentioned example of following this person on Twitter and then you're able to have coffee with them?
Absolutely. And here's a tip that I want to share with your viewers. I use it on Fridays. It's hashtag FF, hashtag follow Friday. And what I do on Fridays, not every Friday, but a lot of Fridays, I will do hashtag FF women in media. And I will tag these women and post them. And I can't begin to tell you how strong a response I get. And this particular reporter, I would periodically do hashtag FF women reporters, women in the media, and put her handle in there. And they appreciate it. And they will retweet, they will like, they see, they make note of it.
Jennifer, let me jump in for 1 second, please. We're down to about 2 minutes left in the show, if you can believe it. Time flies when you're having fun. Can you share with our audience about a minute or so, just say how they can contact you, your name, your website, any books you have out, anything you want to share with our audience tonight?
Sure. You can follow me on LinkedIn. I would love that. And my first name is spelled a little bit differently, as you can see. It's J-E-N-N-E-F-E-R. The last name is Witter, W-I-T-T-E-R. And, you know, just to note that you heard me on your program. And I'll be glad to link in with you. And I post a lot of articles that relate to business. It's not just about speaking, because I feel it's important as an entrepreneur that we support each other because when one of us is strong, all of us become stronger. And with the book that I mentioned, the little book of big PR, 100 plus quick tips to get your small business noticed, is my book. It is published by Amicon and HarperCollins, and you can get it as an ebook or as a soft cover. And it covers many of the topics that we discussed tonight: personal branding, social media, networking, and media relations. And it's a good read. It's gotten a lot of positive reviews, and I definitely created it to help the entrepreneur get what I say their unfair share of attention.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that, Jennifer. All right. Well, it's been a great show tonight. Love to have you back one day and talk more about the Black-owned businesses and minority and some of that footprint too. For our audience at home tonight, thank you for joining us. And also thank you also to you, Jennifer, for being here. And thank you for rolling with the tech issues. Folks don't know, before the show started, only a minute ago live, there was like no sound and it was a little tricky on my end. I just happened to the equipment there. But we made it through, and to give lessons to business owners out there, if you're listening, you have a little tech issue, just keep on going. So you're here tonight watching an appointment law today. If you like what you've seen, tune in Tuesday nights, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Talk Radio NYC. Jennifer Witter, thank you so much. The Borland Group, folks, have a wonderful evening and good night.
Thank you.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
Have you ever thought of reinventing yourself? Are you looking to create a new life's journey? Hi, I'm Kevin Barbaro, host of Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, live, 8 p.m. Eastern, on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live to hear me and my guests from a variety of different backgrounds. As a former college coach and a current full-time actor and owner of multiple companies, my show is as eclectic as my life. That's Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Uninformed about menopause and how it impacts on your life? Hi, I'm Pat Duckworth, women's health strategist and host of the Hot Women Rock radio show, empowering women leaders at menopause. Join me every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. UK time on talkradio.nyc for interviews with inspirational women who will share their top tips to rock your world.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.